All right. Well, this morning we're going to continue the series that we've been doing on DNA, the spiritual DNA, the stuff that God has put inside of us to make us who we are supposed to be in Him. We've had some great words that have been brought through these weeks, as Brother J.D., Pastor J.D. brought out the importance of the fruit of the Spirit in that very first message right on up to last week, as Pastor Caleb was sharing with us about how that in Christ we're literally new creatures, new creations, new creatures. Even used the term, we're a new species. Remember that? We're a new species in Christ. And in that we have the opportunity to fellowship with God, but then we're also ministers of reconciliation to a broken world. This morning, I want to focus on another important word that describes who we are and what is our spiritual DNA, what is our makeup, and that is the word holiness, the word sanctification. Those two words mean primarily the same thing. Now, some of you may have just gotten really uncomfortable just because I said the word holiness. It's like, oh no, here it comes, you know. Because some of us have heard that the message of holiness preached sometimes in a way that I'm not sure that it wasn't intended wrong by any means, and I'm not here to judge anybody's heart, but I think sometimes it had an unintended consequence, as sometimes the message of holiness was preached in a way that came across as legalism and rules and this list of do's and don'ts and do this and don't do that and go here and by no means should you go there and wear this and don't wear that and that list of rules that instead of really setting us free to have the freedom in Christ to live above sin, it almost had this feeling of the opposite. It put us in this bondage where we felt like I gotta live above sin. And listen, yes, we need to live above sin, but it's not all you doing it. It's the power of when we're talking about holiness, real Bible holiness, we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, who is empowering us, lifting us up, enabling us to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And really, that's what the title of my message is this morning, is Living to Please God. Living to please God. How many of you want to live to please God? I think that's most of us in this room today. Now, when I'm talking about holiness, I am not talking about legalism. I am not talking about a list of rules. I'm not going to give you, 37 things to do to be holy and, 137 things not to do to be holy. I'm not doing that today. But neither am I going to go to this other side of the pendulum and talk about hyper grace that excuses our lifestyle and says you can live any old way that you want to live. Have you ever noticed how the devil's trick to us is if he can't get us to do the Bible, he'll try to take those things to an extreme, to one side or the other, to where it's so out of balance that we're not really doing what God wanted us to do. Let me give you one example of that. Years ago, the teaching was that the only way to be holy was you had to be poor to be holy. You got to be poor. Yeah. Anybody's got any money? Well, they must not be. Hey, rich men, all that kind of, And what was that? That was this extreme position. And at some point we realized, wait a minute, that's not right. And so the church world said, well, if that's not right, that you got to be poor to be holy, what is right? And so in our direction, moving back to the balance of God's word, some folks, the pendulum swung so far that it went right past the balance point and went all the way to the other side of the spectrum. And the next thing you know is the only way that you can be really godly is if you're rich. That's the sign that you're every God. Everybody ought to drive a Cadillac. Everybody ought to live in a mansion. Everybody ought to have $1 million in the bank if you're really godly. And that was just as out of balance as you got to be poor. There's a balance in the middle where God wants to bless us and prosper us as we live for Him. Amen? Well, I think that same kind of pendulum theory, that's my terminology for this phenomenon that I see in the church sometimes. I think that same pendulum theory has applied to this doctrine of sanctification. That there was this unbalanced position of sanctification that the church was in, where it was all about the rules and the legalism, and you got to do this, and it's the length of your hair, and it's the length of your dress, and it's the length of your shirt sleeve, and it's whether you wear a tie or not. I mean, crazy things that we associated with holiness, and we realized that's not really holiness. That's man's attempt to try to be holy, but that's not God working in us making us holy. That's exterior stuff. It's not the heart. And God was never after just the exterior. He's after your heart. Come on, somebody say, God's after my heart. But listen, when God gets your heart, how many of you know he'll have your tongue as well? And when he gets your heart, he'll have your wardrobe as well. And when he gets your heart, he'll have where you go and what you do and how you think and how you feel and how you talk. He'll get all of that when he gets your heart. And so there's this extreme position, and Christendom said, we need to correct that. What do we need to do about it? Well, we need to get it back in balance. But again, the pendulum swung too far. And the next thing we know, we walk into this place of hyper grace that we hear about in the church. And now, you know, because of the grace of God, you got saved sometime way back then. You can live any way you want to live now, and the grace of God's just going to cover it, and you're just going to be fine. That is so wrong. It's so out of balance. But it's where the devil wants to try to take us. And so I want to preach on holiness, but not some legalism. I want to talk about being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where you fall so in love with him that you want to live in a way that pleases him. You ever fallen in love with somebody? Ever fallen in love with somebody enough that you actually changed some of your behaviors because you wanted to do things differently so that they would like you back? Listen, I want us to, you don't have to do that in order to get God to like you back. He already likes you back, okay? But that we just love him so much that we want to please him. Go with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's put some scripture to what we're talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's start reading at the very first verse there. You doing okay out there? Hadn't scared you off yet with this word holiness, right? You're still with me, right? Because we all want to please God, amen? All right, so as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. So here, let me just break that down for a moment. Paul says, I gave you some instructions about how to live right to please God, and here's the good news, you're doing it. So for those of you who are doing it, awesome. Praise the Lord. You're already doing some things that please God. Now, he continues to say, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Somebody say more and more. And so no matter how close we've gotten to God, anybody in this place perfect yet? Trying to look through the lights here. I don't see any hands raised. No, we're not perfect yet. So what are we doing? We're still working on it, like Paul said, more and more, right? We're trying to get more and more like Jesus every day. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will. Somebody say God's will. Anybody want to know God's will for your life? Yeah. How many of you say, God, I need to know your will for my life. Do I buy this car? Do I not buy this car? Do I start this business? Do I not start this business? Do I invest here or not invest there? Do I marry this person or not marry this person? Do I date this person or not? You know, we want to know the will of God for our life. So here it is. It is God's will. Somebody say God's will. It is God's will that you should be what? Sanctified. There you go. God's will for your life. One word. Sanctified. Sanctified. Because if you live a sanctified life, if you live a holy life, if you live a life that really pleases God, all of the other pieces will fall into place. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Okay, now he's going to get in our business here. Yeah, yay God. That each of you... Somebody say, that means me. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. Man, he did get in our business right there, didn't he? Are we living like that? Paul says, live like that. If you're not living like that, you need to start living like that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. God did not call us. God did not save us. God did not send his son to die on a cross and pay the penalty for our sin so we could just keep on living however we wanted to live, a sinful, impure, unholy lifestyle, he says. But instead, God called us. He saved us. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for us so that we could live a holy life. Well, let's see if we can define what a holy life is. In fact, let me give you a warning because I stopped short, but I want you to look at down at verse 8 there for a second. Verse 8, it says, therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but who? But God. Anyone who rejects this instruction about holiness, you're not rejecting the Apostle Paul. You're not rejecting Pastor Tommy. You're not rejecting your mom or your dad or somebody else in your life. You are rejecting God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. I think God is saying this is important stuff. Amen? So let's define sanctification for a moment. Sanctification finds its source in two Bible words, a Hebrew word, kadosh, and the Greek verb, hagiazo. And both of those words basically mean to separate, to set apart, to cleanse. The Old Testament picture, if you go back into the Old Testament where we're first introduced to this concept, is that there were certain times of the year, there were certain places, there were certain people, there were certain things that were to be set apart only for God. We would kind of use the word sacred today to talk about things that, you know, there's secular stuff and then there's sacred stuff. There's worldly stuff, your everyday life stuff, but then there's the sacred stuff. There's the stuff that belongs to God. And this word holy, sanctified, really is talking about the stuff that belongs to God. Certain feast days in the Old Testament belong to God. You quit your work, you left where you lived, you went to Jerusalem, you gave God your time. That is set apart. I set this time apart to be with God, to worship him, to acknowledge him for all he's doing. Certain people, like the priests, they were set apart for God. They didn't work as a mechanic. They didn't plow in the fields. All that they did, their job was to work for God. They were holy. They were set apart for God and for his service. There were certain things like the utensils of the temple that were holy. I mean, it's kind of weird to call a pot or a pan or a candlestick holy, but that's what God called it. In other words, it's set apart for me. You don't run out of dishes, the dishwasher's full, and so the priest runs in and says, well, let's just grab a pot out of the temple, and we'll dump a can of tomato soup in there, and we'll have lunch today. You wouldn't do that, because that is holy. You only use that for God. Here's what God is saying. The picture that he's given is, I want a people who are holy. I want a people who are set apart for me, whose lives are consecrated to me. I want a people who all that they are about is just living for me and pleasing me and having a relationship with those people. Now, another part of understanding that is understanding the very nature of God himself. God is holy. See, he doesn't just make things holy. He doesn't just say that things are holy. God himself is holy. The very nature, the very character, the very person who God is. He is holy in all that he is. In fact, the only way that we can define something as holy is it like God? If it's like God, it is holy. If it's not like God, then it's not holy. So as much as you're living like God would want you to live, you're living a holy lifestyle. As much as you're living not the way God wants you to live, then in that you are not being holy. You see the problem is a lot of us, We want to talk about the love of God. We don't want to talk about the holiness of God. See, there's that pendulum again. Well, let's just come over here and just talk about love, 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 love. We're not going to touch the part that God is also a God that makes some demands in our life and says, here's how I expect you to live, and here's what's going to happen. Here are the consequences if you don't. But the same God who loves us, how many of you love your kids? How many of you set boundaries for your kids because you know it's good for them? How many of you say to your kids, no, you can't touch the hot stove? Is that because you're a bad parent? You just don't want them to experience life? No, it's because you're a good parent. And when God gives us these rules, he's saying, because this is going to make your life better. So do this, don't do that, because it's going to make your life better. That's God. God is love, but God is also holy. I'm afraid some of us have tried to remake God in our image. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that God made man in his image. In his image, he created them, male and female, right? We remember that verse of scripture. But what we've tried to do is we've tried to turn it around and we've tried to remake God. Man has tried to make God in our image. You know, I think this is right, therefore God ought to think this is right. I think this is wrong, therefore God should think this is wrong. I believe this, therefore God should back me up in that. No, it's God said it, therefore I need to do it. Come on, I need some help here. It's not mean. It's not legalism. I know the nature of God. I know the character of God. I know he cares about me. He does love me. His don't touch this is because it's a hot stove and he doesn't want to see my life get burned. How many of you wish you'd have listened to God a few times in your life when you didn't? Amen. How many of you ever regretted listening to God and doing what he asked you to do? Anybody here ever regretted that? It just turned out horrible. I did what God said and it just turned out horrible. No. What God's asking of us is good. You know, we've tried to recreate God and turn God into this nice, jolly grandpa. Yeah. Because you know how grandpas are. Come on over to granddaddy's house and you can do anything you want to do. Yeah, you want some candy? Sure, you can have candy. It's 10 o'clock at night. Your parents are coming to pick you up in 15 minutes. Sure, get a boatload of candy. Go home on a sugar high and, you know, stay up half the night. I don't care. You know, granddaddy's. And sometimes we try to turn God into that. Like that's who God is. God's not that. He does love us. He does want to bless us. But he says, but there's some limits. There's some things that if you do this, it's going to hurt you. And I don't want to see you hurt. So let me show you how to live in a way that pleases me. Being sanctified or holy really means to take on the character, the morality, the spiritual nature of God. I want us to go, and I don't have a whole lot more time, but I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at a parallel passage here that talks about our sanctification that I think is really important. Beginning at verse 14, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. Now there, that tells me that I've got some responsibilities. I got some skin in the game. I got to work at it. God's going to help me. I'm not doing this all by myself, but God's not going to do it all for me. And I just sit around like a knot on a log, not doing anything. There's a part of me that's got to engage in this process. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? In the Old Testament, it was pretty harsh. If we jump down to verse 18 in this chapter, the writer of the Hebrews, and some think it was the Apostle Paul, some think it was somebody else, it really doesn't matter. It's the inspired word of God, that's what matters. And the writer here is writing to Jewish people, and he wants to kind of contrast the Old Testament approach to holiness with a New Testament approach to holiness. Let's look what he says in verse 18. You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. Now, most of us probably need me to stop right there and say, what in the world is this talking about, Pastor Tommy? Well, the Hebrews knew who this was talking about. The Jewish people knew. This was a part of their history. They knew that when they came out of Egypt, led by Moses through the wilderness, that they came to Mount Sinai. Somewhere around chapter 18, chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, we begin to be introduced to this fact that God is wanting to have a relationship with his people. We've come to Mount Sinai. It's kind of like God said, hey, let's just hang out here for a while and let's just get to know one another. I want to talk to you. You talk to me. Let's have a grand old time together. Except the fact that God is holy. And he says, to prepare yourself to have that encounter with me, I need you to spend some days in consecration. I need you to get rid of any sinful stuff that's in your life. Do this, don't do some of these things. In fact, God even makes it so clear. He says, and in fact, even if an unholy animal was to touch the mountain where I'm going to meet you at, that mountain, that animal actually has to be slain, has to be killed. So this is kind of scary stuff. And on that mountain, if you go back and you read the story in Exodus, I mean, there are like earthquakes and lightning and fire and smoke. And I mean, it's like Armageddon going on and everybody's like freaking out. And they're like, oh, God, if that's who God is, I'm scared to death of God. Well, let's just keep on reading here. Verse 19, for they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. Now this is Moses who's already met God at the burning bush. Moses who already knows God. Moses who's already been talking with God. He's going to be called a friend of God. And Moses is going, this is even freaking me out, God. This is even scary to me. I'm not really sure if I'm ready for this kind of an encounter with such a holy, awesome, powerful God. I'm a little scared that I'm not going to fully sanctify myself, and you might strike me down like you would strike down one of those animals. See, this was the Old Testament approach to God. Let me just throw something in there. God's plan all along was not just to have a conversation with Moses. God's plan was to have a conversation with the whole nation. God wanted to be in a personal relationship with the whole nation. But they got afraid, and they said, Moses, will you do it for us? You have the relationship with God. You talk to him, and then you just come back and tell us what he said, and we'll do our best to do it. We promise. We'll do whatever you tell us, but just don't make us go see him. That's scary. I want to tell you today, God has not changed his mind. He still wants to have a personal relationship with every one of us. Every one of us. Some of you are kind of scared of God. I'm not so sure that I want to get too close because I've heard things about God. I want to tell you, God loves you. I want to tell you, God loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. And he doesn't want you just saying, hey, Pastor Tommy, would you go up to the mountain and would you talk to God for us and then come back and tell us whatever God said? Preach us a sermon on Sunday and we'll do our best to try to live by it. No, God's saying, I really do want to have a personal one-on-one relationship with you. So the writer here in Hebrews turns the page and he says, that was then, now this is now. That was Old Testament. Now, here is who we are as believers, and I'm going to wrap up here in just a moment. He says in verse 22, no, you have come to Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai, the new mountain, Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. That's a little better picture, right? You know, there's no fire smoke going on here, just angels and people that are in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God himself who is the judge over all things. You've come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. I'm telling you, one of these days, we're not perfect here now and yet, but one of these days we're going to get to be made perfect along with all of these others when we get to heaven with God. And he says in verse 24, and here's the best part, you have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people. You have come to Jesus. You don't have to be afraid of the mountain. You don't have to be afraid of the smoke and the fire and the earthquakes. No, God hasn't changed. God is still an awesome God, a powerful God, a holy God, a God that we should fear, but not in the way that they feared him. Because we have come to him through the mediator, Jesus Christ, who said, Father, accept them into your presence, not based on how good they are, but based on what my blood has done for them. The mediator, Jesus, makes a way for us into the presence of God. So now the Bible says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can enter into God's presence boldly, not out of fear, but out of a relationship. Here's the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament holiness was based on rules. The New Testament holiness is based on a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that says, God, I am so in love with you that I don't want to ever do anything that would disappoint you. I want to live my life in a way that pleases you. Let me close it with this final statement. When a Christian is sanctified, he's cleansed of all sin, separated from that which is sinful unto that which is godly, and he completely commits or consecrates himself to live for God. I want to live my life like that. How about you? Sanctified, cleansed of all sin, separated, removed from that that's sinful, and into that which is godly. I want to completely commit, consecrate myself wholly to God. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. Father, Lord, we thank you today that you do have a plan for our life, and it is a good plan. Lord, yeah, there's a place where we could do with a little bit more fear of the Lord. Maybe we've lost some of that we need to maintain. But Lord, I thank you that we can have the fear of the Lord and not approach you in fear. We can have the fear of the Lord and approach you in relationship. Approach you through the mediator, Jesus Christ, who's made the way of access for us to enter into those heavenly places with you. But Lord, to be empowered by you to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord here on earth. Lord, I thank you that you have not just called us to salvation. You've not just called us to go to heaven when we die. Lord, you've called us to a relationship to live with you, to walk with you, to commune with you, to fellowship with you, to live a life that's pleasing to you. Lord, to live a life where we've learned to say no to ourselves, to say no to our flesh, not just in our own strength, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, that when those moments come, when those decisions need to be made, when we're facing the tempter, that, Lord, there's something of the grace of God that rises up inside of us. There's something of the power of the Holy Spirit that rises up inside of us. There's something about this set-apart lifestyle that we've made a decision toward that rises up inside of us that says, no, I'm not going to do that. I want to live for Jesus. I want to ask you a really simple question. I think it's a pretty important question. And that is, are you living a life that is holy, that is pleasing to God? It won't take you long to answer that question. The Holy Spirit will help you in a moment's notice if you just ask Him to. Holy Spirit, am I living a life that's pleasing to God? Or am I living a life that's pleasing to myself? I'm not asking, are you perfect? We already talked about that. We're not perfect until we get to heaven. When we get there, we're going to be made perfect. I'm not asking if you're perfect. None of us measure up to that standard. But I'm asking you, are you daily, consistently living a life that really is pleasing to the Lord? And when you recognize, hey, I messed up, that we're really quick to repent, really quick to say, God, forgive me, really quick to say, Lord, help me to grow in that area of my life so that I don't keep stumbling over the same thing. See, I'm afraid there are a lot of Christians who are continually stumbling over what we call besetting sins in our life. Just keep doing that same thing and you're kicking yourself. You're like, why? Why do I keep doing that? I don't want to do that. You know, I don't think anybody became a Christian in order to be miserable. We became a Christian so that we could have the joy of the Lord in our life, the freedom of our sins, the weight of sin lifted, the to know that there's no more guilt in our life. That's why we came to be a Christian, because of the love of Jesus. But then we start doing this stuff that we know is not pleasing to God, and the Holy Spirit starts talking to us about it. Saying, you better cut that out. You need to stop doing that. That's not why Jesus died on the cross, for you to do that. He died so that you could rise above that, live a different way. He wants to empower you to do that. So I'm asking you this question. Do you know today that you're living a life that is truly holy, sanctified, pleasing to the Lord? And if not, then I've just got one more question. Would you like to? Would you like to? Because it's possible. Not because you're pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Not because you're doing all of it all by yourself. Not because you suddenly get so righteous. Not because you suddenly get so holy because of your own effort. But because you surrender at the cross of Jesus to the one who is the mediator to the Father and say, Holy Spirit, would you come into my heart and break the power of sin and darkness and death and defeat? Would you break the cycle of sin in my life that has held me back? And Lord, would you empower me to daily live a life that's pleasing to you? So here's what I want you to do. How many of you would say, Pastor Tommy, thank you for this message that tells me that I can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life free from all of the sin of my past and all that junk that keeps tripping me up. I can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, live a life that's set apart unto God, sanctified, holy, not by my works, but by the grace of God that is working in me as I work in cooperation with the Lord. Thank you for telling me that that's possible. I want that life. If that's you, I want you to just stand up right where you are. I want you to stand up right where you are. I want to live that kind of life. I'm tired of living in defeat. I'm tired of not having what I know that God wants for me. I'm tired of not having His very best in my life. I really want to be set free to live like God wants me to live. And over half this congregation standing right now. Maybe there's some of you that say, if Pastor, you're asking, do I need to get sanctified? I know I had that experience in the past. But Lord, if you're asking me, could I have a fresh dose of it? I'm signing up for that one right now. Yeah, let me stand up and just join in with everybody else right now for just a fresh cleansing, a fresh renewing, a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit to live that kind of life. So why don't you just ask Jesus to do that? Would you just do that in your own terms, in your own words? Lord, we just do that right now. We surrender ourselves to you. God, we want to be a holy people. Lord, we want to live the life that pleases you. We don't want to take advantage of your grace. We want to benefit from your grace. Lord, we don't want to live a life that's filled with sin and darkness and despair and brokenness. Lord, we're tired of stumbling over the old stuff again and again and again. Lord, we're asking you, Holy Spirit, break the power of that thing in my life right now. You know what it is. Just identify it to God right now. Just go ahead and tell it to God right now. Break that thing right now. Name it. You name it to God. Tell him what you're tired of. I'm tired of, and you just fill in the blank. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of doing this thing. I'm tired of this sinful behavior. I'm tired of stumbling and falling over this thing. Tell God what it is. Maybe it's two or three things. God, I'm asking you right now, break the power of that through your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I surrender my life totally and completely. I'm willing to be consecrated wholly to you, Lord Jesus. I give my life to you. No longer living according to my flesh, no longer trying to please myself. God, I want to live in the joy of the Lord. Lord, I want to live in the peace of knowing my sins are forgiven. Lord, I want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to live in a way that when people see my life,